Ruth chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Then Naomi, her daughter-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say, I will do." Ruth is a fascinating story. And it's a fascinating story because it's about a family that is befallen by no small difficulty. First of all, famine. Elimelech and Naomi, his wife and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, sickness and weakness, their names, and you recall we talked about that a little bit, leave Bethlehem in Judea and go into the land of Moab, where they think they can find some sustenance because there's a localized famine. And Mahlon and Chilion take to themselves wives, Ruth and Orpah. Elimelech dies. Mahlon and Chilion also die. And there are three widows. And Naomi determines to go back to Bethlehem after some time, about 10 years, because she learns that there is now in the land surrounding Bethlehem good times. And so she decides to go back, and Ruth and Orpah go out with her, and there's some discussion on the road, and Orpah returns to the land of Moab and to her family, but Ruth insists that she will go forth with Naomi, and you know that part of the story. But it's a beautiful story. When Ruth and Naomi are back in Bethlehem, the people of Bethlehem are rather astounded, because here come these two widow ladies. And as they find a place in Bethlehem, Ruth decides that she'll go out in the field and glean. And of course, this was in accordance with the law of God, that God had stipulated that the landowners should allow strangers and foreigners to go out in the field, the poor people, and pick up grain. And Ruth does so. And in the providence of God, she happens into the field of Boaz. And when she reports back to Naomi, Naomi introduces Ruth to this man Boaz, whom she has met informally in the field. And she says to Ruth that Boaz is a redeemer, a close relative, a redeemer, a person who has a particular responsibility. And of course, Boaz has already commended Ruth and said to Ruth, and we have it in the second chapter in verse 12, "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." And so it was that the interpretation that Boaz was placing upon the life of Ruth, as if she was gleaning in the field and came in the providence of God to Boaz. Boaz was saying, "You were seeking refuge at the hand of the Almighty." And now Naomi says to Ruth in verse 1 of our text this morning, "My daughter, shall I not seek security? That it may be well with you, security for you, that it may be well with you. And so we have this theme of seeking the Redeemer that is before us once more. And you know that Boaz is a picture of Christ. And the story, in an ultimate sense, is a picture of individuals coming to Christ. And so I'm laying before you this proposition at the head of the outline. We seek rest from the consequences of our sins by placing ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. And we have part one of that theme this morning. Seeking rest from the Redeemer. Look at verse 1 again. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" And so it is. Verse 1, and the word security in verse 1 is actually the word rest. And so I'm really picking up on that theme. And in the first point in the outline, I'm saying to you, God created Ruth, and He also created you and me to seek the Redeemer. And I really believe that's the case. We see that in verse 12, and we see that in verse 1 in our text. And I'd like you to keep your finger there in Ruth and turn back for a moment to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Because it seems to me a couple of very phenomenal points come out of that text that relate directly to what we're talking about. Acts chapter 17 and verses 26 and 27. Look at what Paul says when he preaches on Mars Hill to the pagan philosophers in Athens. Acts chapter 17 and verses 26 and 27. He speaks of God, He that is God. He made from one man every nation of mankind. God made from one person, one individual, every nation under the face of the earth. He made from every nation, He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. He determined, God determined the appointed times of every family, and He determined the appointed place for every family. Think about this now. Was it an accident that Boaz was the master of a particular field next to Bethlehem in Judea at the time of the judges? It was no accident. It was determined and appointed by God. And we've talked about this already. Was it an accident that Ruth happened into the field of Boaz when she did? No, it wasn't any accident. It was in accordance with the providence of God. And the providence of God is that work in which He, in a minute and careful way, takes care of His people and oversees all of their actions. Look at verse 26 again in Acts 17. He made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. And there we have it in Bethlehem of Judea, and Boaz and Ruth coming into the field of Boaz. And verse 27 in Acts 17. What was the purpose of God's determining these things? Verse 27 says very plainly that they would seek God. And what was Ruth doing as interpreted by Boaz? May the Lord be blessed, Boaz says of Ruth. May the Lord be blessed, under whose wings you have come to seek
refuge.
And it seems to me that one of the things we can say of Ruth is that she is fulfilling in the providence of God one of the things for which she was created by the Almighty, to seek His face. And doesn't that apply to you and me? Why has He placed you in your particular circumstance at this particular time? I say to you, dear friends, for the purpose of seeking God. That's the teaching of the Scripture. Go back now, if you would, to Ruth. And let's read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight." And we've talked a little bit about the fact that Boaz is this Redeemer. And it was the purpose of the Redeemer to ensure that in each parcel of land, or upon each parcel of land that God had given to a family when the people of Israel came into the Promised Land, upon each parcel of land there would be a family perpetually. And this is a picture of heaven. And it's a picture of the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it is the job of the Redeemer to ensure that families are attached to particular parcels of land. And Boaz is a Redeemer. And what does Naomi say to Ruth? Look at verse 1 again. "My daughter, shall I not seek security?" And literally it is rest. "Shall I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you?" Shall I not seek rest for you? We need to get a hold of this word rest. It's the very same word that's used in Genesis 5 that we read just a moment ago. And if you turn back there with me in Genesis chapter 5 and look at how Noah is named and why Noah is named. Genesis 5, verses 28 and 29. "Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, 'This one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed.'" This one will give us rest. The name Noah means rest. It's the same word that's used in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 1. "Shall I not I seek rest for you?" It's the name Noah. And what was Lamech thinking when Noah was born? Well, Lamech was thinking when Noah was born that Noah was the Savior that had been promised to Adam and Eve. This one he called Noah, saying, "He will give us rest from the work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." And God had said to Adam, "You're going to go out and you're going to work on the land, and because of your sin, it's going to be by the sweat of your brow that you will work on the land, and it will bring forth thorns and thistles. This it will do." And it's very interesting, it seems to me, that one of the things that Naomi was desirous for Ruth was that she would no longer have to go out and pick up
bits of grain in the field, and by the sweat of her brow, labor in that field of Boaz. She wanted to find rest for Ruth from the work that arose in the field. And ultimately, this is a rest, is it not? That has to do with sin and finding salvation from sin. Because verse 29 says, "This one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands, arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." This has to do with sin and redemption and rest, which comes ultimately when we are restored in heaven, dear friends in Christ. Shall I not seek rest for you? Naomi says to Ruth. And then I'd like you to look at another aspect of it. Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, we find a recitation of the Ten Commandments. And verse 16 is the fifth commandment. And notice how Moses sets forth the fifth commandment. Deuteronomy 5:16, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you." Let's read that again. "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you, that it may go well with you, that you may have rest, and that it may go well with you." You know, part of the problem in our society today is a lack in honoring properly parents and parental authority, and a lack in honoring properly authority structures that God has ordained. "Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you." And part of the reason many children have difficulties in this life is that they fail to honor properly their parents. I think this is the case, and it's clear, it seems to me, from the Word of God. Go back now to Ruth chapter 3 and look at what Naomi has to say. Look at her question. "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you?'" And what does Ruth do? If it's to be well with her, and she is to have rest, what does she have to do? She has to follow the simple instructions that Naomi gives her. Isn't that the case? And she does so. And it's beautiful. And it's the Redeemer to whom Naomi is pointing Ruth. Let's read on. Verse 3. Here's part of the direction. "Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." Ruth has been told now, after meeting Boaz in the field and seeing him, Ruth has been told, this man is a Redeemer. Now here are the directions for going to the Redeemer and receiving the blessing that only the Redeemer can give. You're to go quietly down to the threshing floor. And before you do so, wash yourself and anoint yourself and put on your clothes The word best is not in the original language. Put on your clothes. Matthew Henry says, she wasn't to dress as a harlot. She wasn't to dress as a woman who was baiting a man. She was simply to put on her clothes, wash herself, and to put on those clothes, and to go down to the threshing floor, and not to make herself known until after the dinner was over and Boaz was resting on the heap of grain where it was warm, and then she was to take action. I say in the third point in our outline, we must quietly seek the Redeemer by humbly yet persistently pursuing Him. And this is the case. Ruth had to take the direction of Naomi and go to the Redeemer, Boaz. And we too must take the word of God which is given to us and flee to the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. It's absolutely essential that we do so. And we must humbly and persistently pursue the Redeemer. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told about the man who came to his friend's house, and he knocks on the door and he says to his friend, although it's late in the evening, "I've had some other friends come to my house. Could you give me some bread so that I could feed my friends?" And the man in the house says, "It's late and we've shut down our things for the night, and you'll have to come back later," as it were. And the man in the street persistently and continually knocks on the door and pleads with his friend. And the lesson is, knock and keep knocking. Ask and keep asking. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and keep asking and it shall be given to you. You can't just go once and say, "This is what I need. I need the bread of life," and then go about your business as though, "Well, it's over now and I can get on with my life." No, there is a persistence and a humbling of self when there is a seeking of the Redeemer. And that's exactly the case in the life of Ruth. And one of the magnificent things here is the humbling of self. Look at what Ruth does at the direction of Naomi. Verses 4 and 5. "It shall be when he lies down that you shall take notice of the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say I will do." The directions are pretty explicit. And you wonder, in some respects, what would a self-respecting young lady like Ruth be doing late at night on the threshing floor, alone with this master of a household and placing herself at his feet? The great picture, friends, once again, is the picture of approaching the Redeemer. And so I'm saying in the fourth point, we seek the Redeemer by placing ourselves at his feet, at his disposal, as his servants. And isn't this the case? Ruth goes to the threshing floor, and we see this later, and she is to place herself at the feet of Boaz. And Naomi says, you're to wait. Then he will tell you what you shall do. We're to go to the Redeemer, and we are to wait on him to hear what he has to say to each one of us. The picture that John Bunyan gives in Pilgrim's Progress is one of pilgrim or Christian going up a narrow road through much difficulty with much persistence and perseverance to the narrow wicket gate to come to the foot of the cross, to the feet of the Redeemer, where he will find rest for his soul. And this is the picture that's given to us in the book of Ruth. And it's a picture, too, where we need not only to be at the feet of the Redeemer and to be at the disposal of the Redeemer, but we need to recognize ourselves as servants of the Redeemer. After all, what does Romans 10, verse 9 tell us? That if we confess with our lips Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. He is the Lord. We are his servants. And it's interesting in the book of Ruth that Ruth is not even one of the servants of the Redeemer. She is less than a servant. She is a castaway. And in the economy of Israel at that time, she would have been a person who could have easily been discarded and thrown away. Reminds me of when I was in Korea after I was converted. And I had the privilege of visiting orphanages over there. And any of you who have been in a foreign country and visited these kinds of institutions will know that you see little children with bloated bellies because they have been starved for weeks. And why are these children in these orphanages? I suppose that we're going to see some of this sort of thing in Bosnia now. It was the case in Korea years ago because the GIs were producing these Korean babies. Did the Koreans want them? No. In fact, the Koreans would literally throw them on the garbage heap. And many of these children were rescued and brought up in orphanages by Christian people. Ruth was in that lowly status, less than a servant, and she prostrates herself at the feet of the Redeemer. I'm asking a couple of questions, and as we attempt to more thoroughly apply this particular text, do you seek redemption from sin and its consequences by quietly pursuing Christ? Is this what you are doing? Are you seeking the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, putting yourself at His feet as a servant to await His words? The reference I have there in the outline isn't correct. It is in Luke, however. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, you'll see the correct reference. Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. Let's read this whole parable. Verse 9, and he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One of the Pharisees, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And I'm really astounded by the way Jesus puts it. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Dear friends, the rest that we seek is a rest from the Redeemer that comes as sin is covered. And the curse is removed. And we have peace with God. That's the rest. And ultimately, that's the rest that Ruth was seeking. And ultimately, that's the rest that you need to seek and that I need to seek. That rest has to do with the Sabbath day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. See, here's the picture again. Rest from the labors of the other days. And it is a picture of heaven which is to come. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Heaven, dear friends. And so we should cry out before the Redeemer at His feet, as His servants, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And then finally, I'm asking the question, do you seek redemption by placing yourself at the foot of the cross? Matthew chapter 11, which we read earlier. What does Jesus say? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there we have it again. Jesus saying to you and to me, come to me at the foot of the cross, at my feet, and I will explain to you what is to take place next. And as Ruth prostrates herself at the feet of Boaz, the Redeemer, so dear friends, we are to place ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the great Redeemer, in response to His invitation, and we are to say to Jesus Christ, O Lord Jesus, give me that rest from the labor in this life which has arisen because of the curse, because of sin. And ultimately, dear friends in Christ, when we trust Him, we receive that rest. And we can be assured, each one of us, is this not the case, that there does remain a Sabbath rest for us in heaven which is to come. So I'm back to the top of the outline now. We seek rest from the consequences of our sins by placing ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. May God make it so in each one of our lives that we seek His face, that the consequences of sin in each one of our lives is resolved, and that we hear the voice of the Redeemer as He continues to give us directions for life, and as He prepares us for the wedding feast that is to come. May He grant it. May He grant the grace. May He bring it about. Let's pray together. Father, thanks for this little book of Ruth. And I pray, Lord, that You'd be pleased to bless us as we look to You, as we seek Your face, as we do so in our daily labors, as we do so in prayer, as we do so in song, as we do so in reading Your Word. May You be pleased to bless and strengthen us. And may we, in the end, each one of us, through the Redeemer Jesus Christ, find that final rest which is to come. Hear us in His name, we pray. Amen.